episode 43, low-cost DIY cleaning products.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Gonna clean it up. Gonna clean it real good.
Hello, everyone. I hope you are ready to clean. Clean up the laughs is what I mean, because we have another episode of the Frugal Friends Podcast. I don't know if I use that correctly, like in context.
I've never heard that saying before.
clean up, like you're cleaning up like the cash, or clean up the laughs, getting all the laughs.
I've heard like clean up your attitude, Jill, okay. Or it's going to be bad news for you.
Oh, well, that's Jill, and that's how she's heard it. I'm Jen. And we are not talking about cleaning up your attitude or your act. We're talking cleaning products.
Yeah.
And we're not just going to read you a list of like 37 recipes for cleaning products, because I was seeing, gosh, lists with over 100 cleaning recipes. We're going to show you how to identify if the recipe you're looking at is legit, and best practices when you're making DIY cleaning products. And then we'll give you a few examples of some good ones and how you can make them not smell so vinegary.
Yeah. It's perfect timing too, because now that you have Marie Kondo'd your life and you are all in on tidying up, let's clean it up. Because
let's
what's a
it.
Tidy home if there's bacteria and germs everywhere?
And dust, you know, that's where it's a lot of it's going to be. You're going to clean those surfaces and you're going to find a lot of dust.
Yep. You've picked up your piles of clothes off the floor and you realize you've got some cleaning to do.
Yeah. One part of your carpet is darker than the other because those clothes have been there on the floor for so long.
Exactly.
So you know what I'm talking about. You know.
Before that, though, a word from our sponsors. So we've got modernfrugality.com here. So the Modern Frugality blog and shop has free and low-cost printables, resources, and ebooks to help you reduce your spending, minimize your stuff, and organize your life. Visit shop.modernfrugality.com to see all the freebies, and you can get 50% off any purchase with the code FrugalFriends19. That's FrugalFriends19. Check it out. 50% off.
Yeah, do that before you clean so that you have more space to clean. And today's episode is also brought to you by Science. The internet is a glorious and dark place with many great revelations that have eased the pain of living. It's also filled with people looking to be heard, even if what they're saying has no merit. Thankfully, we have science. It creates hypotheses, verifies claims, debunks myths, and kills unsubstantiated claims. Science. Seek it out before you believe everything you read on the internet.
Whoa.
I'm honored to have science.
This seems like the most controversial sponsor science we've ever had. Science.
Science. But it's our sponsor, and this is what we're relying on science today to.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. You didn't get the connection?
We need science to be right here. We don't need the wrong kind of science. We need the right kind of science when we're cleaning and when we're cooking.
We need science to be safe and clean. And so be thankful for it and love it and embrace it. And don't believe everything you read on the internet. Anyway.
Except for things that we've written on the internet. Totally right, take that blindly.
Because we believe in science. I always think about Nacho Libre.
I do too. I was about to say it.
Thank you.
I believe in science.
I believe in science. All right. So our first headline today is from Good Housekeeping. And it's called Why You Should Never Mix Ammonia and Bleach. But it is basically 6 cleaning products you should never combine.
This was a really good article for me. Not that I've ever been in a position where I have mixed these things, but it's good to know that I shouldn't ever do this. So
yeah. I didn't really know any of these, if we're being honest.
No.
But to be transparent.
I kind of want to try it, though. Now reading this thing that says, don't ever mix these two things. I'm like, but why? Is it like when they announce on the plane that you shouldn't, that you need to turn your phone off? Like, is that really doing anything? You know, is this one of those articles where they just wanted to write a bunch of stuff? Mixing bleach and rubbing alcohol. Am I really going to make chloroform?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to find out.
Well, let's go down the list and then I have another link to a chemist writing these things.
That's true.
Yes.
Okay.
And this one's written by Good Housekeeping's like chief director of cleaning. I don't know what that means, but I hope she believes in science. The first one is bleach and ammonia, as the title suggests. Because it produces a toxic gas called chloramine.
And what does chloramine do? You don't want to breathe it in, folks.
It can give you shortness of breath and chest pain.
I don't want that. I don't need that I'm cleaning. I'm already under unnecessary stress when I'm cleaning. Actually, right? It's kind of therapeutic for me.
and it says it does the same thing if you mix vinegar with bleach, which is number 5, but it mentions it along here.
Yeah.
So I think that one's a more likely thing that people might try to do when they're cleaning their house they're using the all natural vinegar and then they want to just get maybe a little extra. So they'll mix the vinegar and bleach. That also causes chloramine.
Whoa. And this is where this thought pattern can come in, which they talk about in the article, that people can think, oh, if one product is really good and I like it, then mixing it with another one that I really like is going to be even better. But that thinking is false. And us frugal folk know this, right? We know that more is not usually better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so not everyone will be using just straight up ammonia, but remember that most glass and window cleaners contain ammonia.
Mm-hmm.
So keep those away from your bleach. Don't store them together. Yeah. Don't use them close.
Yeah, it would be important to know what the ingredients are, because I have like an all-purpose spray that sometimes I might, like if the all-purpose spray isn't working, then I'll go grab the bleach or the vinegar. So holy smokes. Maybe that's why I feel so funny when I clean my shower.
Oh my gosh. Jill. Jill, I think number 2 really shocked you. I loved your
response. Yes, it did. Okay. So number 2 says that you shouldn't mix drain cleaner with drain cleaner. It can explode. For you pyros out there, this might be exactly what you want to do on a Friday
like
night.
The one that you wanted to try. But, yeah, that's when you said that. This is the one I thought.
Apparently, they have some powerful formulas that if they aren't quite exactly the same, it's not like, oh, I'm running out of this drain cleaner. Just go grab whatever else I have and let's dump that down, too. It's possible that they could interact in a very negative way.
Yes. So if you're trying to be frugal and combining two things because you are low on both, just don't. And this doesn't have brands, but it is depicted by pictures of like that big jug looking one and then the smaller one that may have like 2-in-1. And that may suggest that doing 2-in-1 is okay, but they're not essentially. Adding a third one to that 2-in-1 does not make it work better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nope. It can explode in case you missed that the first time.
And one that you may be really interested in knowing, number 3, basically the point of this whole article being shared with you is baking soda and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, in half of the DIY cleaning product recipes you will find out there. I don't know why. It's a simple Google search will tell you why this is not a good idea. Jill, have you tried this before?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, this is what they all say to do. Like, mix vinegar and baking soda. It's like your mm-hmm. number one go-to DIY cleaning thing. So this one's definitely a surprise to me.
Right. No, it was a surprise to me when I was doing research for this. And it's a really simple concept. Baking soda is basic. Actually, most of the cleaning, like natural cleaning products you will use are basic. Vinegar is acidic.
Not like the term like ya basic.
Right.
It's not that. It's like, remember your litmus tests back in middle school? That's what we're talking about.
Yep. It's got that high pH. The bases have the higher pHs. So those are basic. Vinegar is acidic. And so when you put them together, yes, you get this beautiful, fizzy little volcano-like chemical reaction. But what you are left with after those chemicals react, and it is a chemical reaction because this is science, and you are left with water, heat, and salt. So you are essentially, after you mix the two, you're cleaning with warm salt water. So,
which, I mean, sometimes you clean with salt, you know, like on pans to give you something gritty, but
this isn't that type of salt. This isn't the coarse salt that's giving you that grit that you're using to clean.
Mm-hmm.
This is just warm. This is diluted salt water. Mm-hmm. And the article also says, if stored in a closed container, the mixture can explode.
Yeah.
So try that out if you want to see an explosion.
Probably not like a scary, fiery explosion. Just like like volcano explosions, like science projects. Thank you, science.
Mm-hmm. So I found this other article from a chemist at the Wirecutter. The Wirecutter is a really reliable review site owned by the New York Times. And this chemist basically goes around and, for the Wirecutter, just kind of debunks myths and verifies things.
Mm-hmm.
But she says acids and bases cancel each other out. So your common household acids are vinegar, which is acetic acid, and lemon juice, which is citric acid. So those are your two mm-hmm. basic acids. You can just kind of rely on that. And then your bases are the ammonia, the baking soda, the borax, bleach. And she says, please don't mix bleach with anything ever, ever.
So that's just a good rule of thumb. If you're like, I can't keep up with all these things we're talking about, just don't mix bleach with stuff.
Yeah. And then also don't mix vinegar with bases. So basically, if you're going to use a vinegar cleaner, you want to use it on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a rule of thumb when you're looking at recipes. You want vinegar and water. There you go. There's your thing. You can use some essential oils, maybe put some, you know, dried herbs in there. But that's pretty much, you don't need to make it more complicated because it only cancels out the great benefits of vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And same with baking soda. Baking soda has great properties on its own. But mm-hmm. when you mix it with vinegar, it kind of cancels those properties out.
Exactly.
So
I love science, man.
Yeah. So good. All right. Another one. Hydrogen peroxide and vinegar. And hydrogen peroxide is one that it gives a fantastic chemical reaction on its own. You don't need to mix it with anything. Have you ever cleaned with hydrogen peroxide, Jill?
Only wounds.
Okay, so it does the same thing with wounds as it does, like, if you get blood in something,
mm-hmm.
You put some hydrogen peroxide on it. It's kind of like a bleach. So that's why you also shouldn't mix it with vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put it on, there's like maybe mold or mildew in the bathroom. You can pour it on that and it kills it.
Kills bacteria.
Just like bleach would. But mm-hmm. Don't mix it with vinegar.
Mixing that can cause irritations to your skin, eyes, respiratory system. You don't need that.
Yes, it creates parasitic acid. Science.
I don't know. I believe you.
Yes. And our last one, guess what it is? Guess what it is?
Rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, and bleach. You're noticing a pattern here. So this is the one that makes chloroform if you mix rubbing alcohol and bleach together.
Which, you know, that's what kidnappers use.
Mm-hmm. Make it a rule in your life. Don't ever mix bleach with anything but plain water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even other cleaning products that contain bleach. Like, don't do it. It should not be mixed with anything.
Yeah.
So if you see those things mixed together in a recipe for a DIY cleaner, run for the hills.
Except for what? Like laundry bleach? When that can be added to your laundry along with your detergent.
I think they're added separately in different cycles.
There's different sections. That's why it has sections. Aha.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Use the sections in the washing machine because they're there for a reason.
You know what? This goes all the way back to what? Like our third or fourth episode where like our episode on clothing turned mostly into a laundry episode. Yeah. And then we were saying how we didn't know what all the different compartments were. Look mm-hmm. at us. We're learning together. We're learning and growing together. Here you are a few months later. That's why there's different compartments mm-hmm. because they can't be mixed. Boom. We're together during this aha moment. That was fun.
I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you. It was good to look at your face. It felt safe.
All right. So now that you know what to avoid in recipes, let's go take a look at the essential ingredients for homemade cleaners. And this is from Wonder Mom Wannabe. And titled The Essential Ingredients for Homemade Cleaners.
So for those of us who do want to make our own and have the goal of it being non-toxic, kid-friendly, adult-friendly, everybody pet-friendly, you know, so you're not breathing in a bunch of carcinogens, not only when you're cleaning, but because those things, like, they sit around and you continue to breathe them in or touch them. And then you might put your hands to your mouth and it's just a whole big mess. So there's a lot of reasons to DIY your cleaning products. And here's some essentials.
Yeah, you just have to do it right. And so I like this article because not only does she go over the essentials, but she tells you why they're essential. And so mm-hmm. when you're looking at a recipe and you're looking at the ingredients in it, you should be able to identify, like, this is in here for this, this is in here for this. This should not be in here. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm. So, you can be that person who, when somebody's like, I just spilled wine on my red wine on my white shirt. What should I do? You can know, oh, this will be good for that because it does XYZ. You could be that person.
Or just start here. White wine and wear red shirts. And then you'll be like, oh well.
Problem
keep
solved.
Drinking. Yeah. So, whichever problem you want to have, you'll be able to solve it. So, all right. Nice. First one, Jill, kick us off.
All right, folks, we got baking soda top on the list. This is ideal for scouring, you know, not scouring like for people at the beach, but scouring like really getting in some of that elbow grease. You know,
or
circular motion.
Just sprinkling baking soda on a countertop with a microfiber cloth is, I mean, there you go.
Yeah. It's scouring. Also a deodorizer because it absorbs smell. So you might see a lot of people with baking soda opened in their fridge. That's why, because it absorbs all the like yucky smells. You should still clean your refrigerator, but it does help.
Yes. Clean it with some baking soda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can also use this like in cars or on carpets if they kind of have an odor to them. Let mm-hmm. it sit for a while and then just vacuum it up.
Yeah,
it's a really good trick for getting out smells in maybe used cars. You know us, we're frugal. We're buying used cars.
Yes. All right. So another scouring agent is the next on the list. It's coarse salt. So not like the salt mixture you're making when you mix baking soda and vinegar, but an actual coarse salt is a scouring agent. It's 100% safe and natural, and it also works well as a softener. So yeah. I don't know what you're softening. Maybe water. I don't know.
Well, we do know that it is good for a water softener, but maybe, yes. I mean, I have poured salt in with pans that need a good scrubbing, and then, yeah, with just a little bit of water. I don't know. It sometimes seems
maybe
to help.
You could use a lemon and then do your cast iron with some lemon and salt. Yes, mm-hmm. another good one.
Yep. Then we've got ourselves distilled white vinegar. This is my favorite. If you've heard our healthcare episode, you know drinking apple cider vinegar is my jam. So, of course, cleaning with distilled white vinegar is also my jam. I just really think very highly of vinegar in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so this one is really great for fighting bacteria. It's also super effective against grease, soap residue, and stains.
Yes. And important to note, again, vinegar is really good on its own mixed with some water. Mm-hmm. So don't combine it with baking soda, Castile soap, hydrogen peroxide. You probably don't want to mix it with many of your other bases for the most part. And don't use it on marble or granite.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. And this is probably a not so commonly known thing. Marble and granite are actually pretty porous. Mm-hmm. Granite, you're actually supposed to reseal a couple times a year. Most people don't realize that. They think it's a super durable countertop. And it is. You know, you can put your hot pans right on it. But it's pretty porous. And you need to seal it quite often if you want it to last. And marble can stain really easily.
Very easily.
So they're pretty countertops, but they're not durable. So side note, if you're building or remodeling right now, go for some man-made quartz.
That's where it's at.
It's going to run you about the same amount as some mid-grade granite, but it's just a better option if you want that high-end look, but not have to deal with resealing it every couple times a year or the stains. Mm-hmm. No one needs coasters on their brand new marble countertops.
Nope. And you can clean quartz with distilled white vinegar.
Yep.
So fun fact.
That's what we like to hear.
Next on the list is a hydrogen peroxide, super effective at killing bacteria. So it's a great substitute for bleach and ammonia. But don't mix it with vinegar. Keep those bacteria fighting things separately. Just because they're good at fighting bacteria on their own doesn't mean they work better together.
Yeah.
It's like people.
Exactly. Keep them separate.
Some people.
So this next one, vodka. Apparently, I didn't know this. Vodka is terrific for cleaning glass and chrome. And it apparently works well for getting rid of mildew. You, of course, can also substitute this for rubbing alcohol. But apparently they think vodka would work too. Although I've got to wonder, would I rather have children ingesting vodka residue on the counter or like the carcinogens? I don't know. I don't know which one's like safer for kids.
Yeah, I don't know either, but probably vodka. Some people in the like natural cleaning community don't think rubbing alcohol is like natural, so they prefer vodka.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would probably prefer to clean with vodka. Well, for a couple of reasons that I won't mention all of them, but rubbing alcohol like makes me pass out. I have some sort of association with rubbing alcohol and very sterile medical environments, and pass out. Like well, when I got my wisdom teeth out, I guess I smelled rubbing alcohol in the chair and I passed out. No one had touched me. Nothing had happened yet. And the doctors had to come in and they were like, I woke up. I was like, is it over? Oh my goodness. That was so fast. And they're like, no, you just passed out. We're putting you back under to actually do the surgery. So embarrassing.
Oh no.
I know. Rubbing alcohol, man. So
that's horrible.
So vodka, man, I'm going to use that. That won't make me pass out.
I'll probably have to say that rubbing alcohol is the more frugal choice. But if you have vodka on hand and a lot of it, then
clean your glass with it.
Yep. Clean with it.
You won't pass out by the smell, at least.
All right. And then we've got some Castile soap. Which is very common Dr. Bronner's is the most popular type. And it's gentle on skin, but tough on dirt and grease. And so it makes a good substitute for vinegar. And again, she's saying don't combine Castile soap with vinegar. You can use it as a substitute for it. And a lot of people hate the smell of vinegar. Mm-hmm. So that's it's where a good Castile alternative soap comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one is bar soap. So they say that you can grate this, like grate it up like you would cheese to make some homemade laundry detergent. And recipes for dish soap might call for some bar soap. Mm-hmm. And you can also use it to pre-treat stains on your clothing, like before you throw them into the wash. I didn't know that either. I'm not a huge bar soap fan because of the residue that it leaves in the shower.
Same.
Like body gels and washes are so much better for the look of your tub and shower than bar soap. So if you keep getting streaks and residue in your shower and you're like, why is this happening? It's probably because you're using bar soap.
Yeah, possibly. And then next we've got washing soda, which is different than baking soda. It's a natural laundry booster. So it's also used in a lot of homemade cleaner recipes. It's good at cutting grease, deodorizing, and disinfecting. I would personally never make my own laundry detergent, but a lot of the accessory things that you buy, you can substitute for like DIY and put washing soda in them.
I have never heard of the term washing soda. What is that? Where do you find it?
I would assume on Amazon.
That's true. Right, they do give you some links in here, but yeah. I've never heard of this term. It's not something I own, and I don't think it's something I'm ever going to buy. So, you know, take it or leave it on some of these things on the list.
Yeah.
So the next one is borax. So in a couple of these articles, it does say beware because borax, while it is natural, it's not 100% safe. So don't just assume like, oh, just throw borax on it. It may not be like the best thing for you because it's risky if you inhale it or it gets into your eyes or if it's undiluted, but it does really help with whitening and stain fighting. So actually, borax is one of the ingredients when we had talked about DIY dry cleaning. Borax is one of the ingredients for that. And I do think it's generally used when it comes to laundry. So if laundry is something you're DIYing, then definitely, consider this. But don't assume you can just like spray it everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess none of this stuff you should spray everywhere. But
yeah. All right. And then we've got citric acid, which is ideal for preventing water spots and cloudiness. You can use it when you're washing dishes. Leaves glass and mirrors sparkling, handy for cleaning stainless steel, and works like magic on wine stains. So this is another one where you could take that coarse salt with a lemon and clean your stainless steel and clean wine stains. So that would be really smart. And then we've got olive oil, and that's usually in DIY furniture cleaners because it conditions wood well. But you want to make sure you're using like a cheaper olive oil, because that could be even pricier than like furniture cleaners.
Yeah. And then you've got your essential oil. So this is what can make it smell nice. And some oils also have some antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral properties that you can do your own research on. You do not have to join an MLM to do this. You can get essential oils at Marshall's or TJ Maxx.
That's where I've gotten them. Yep.
On clearance.
Well, you may not be able to eat them, but... Yeah. Don't eat them.
Don't
That's the solution
eat
to that
them.
Problem.
There's so much science telling you not to eat them. Science.
So, yeah. Some of the ones that she lists as really good in cleaners, lemon, tea tree, peppermint, and rosemary. These are all antibacterial. They all have antibacterial properties. So yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Those are the things to be looking out for when you want to make your own DIY cleaners. So, and don't think we're done.
We've just gone over because
what not
we're
to use
at
and
the
what
best
to use.
Part of the week.
Yeah, we're just taking a break for
time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Okay, hey you guys. I'm talking kind of quiet because I'm at this New Year's like mixer for the local Chamber of Commerce, and you know, it's a typical networking event. We got to meet all these people. And I swear to God, this man came up and introduced himself. And he's like, hey, I'm Bill. And this is a Friday. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need to go. And I need to call somebody because I have a new favorite Bill of the Week. So there you guys go, Jen and Jill and all of our frugal friends. I met a Bill at a networking event. And he seemed nice. I don't think he was as excited to meet me as I was to meet him. Happy Bill of the Week.
Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome.
Oh,
I wish
Bill.
That we had been there with you, but I kind of feel like we aren't there with you.
Because you're calling us from this event.
I know. That's
amazing. It may be a later date. But I mean,
I love that we in some ways have ruined the name Bill for any of our listeners. Like anyone yeah. named Bill that they meet now, it's just funny.
Yeah.
That's what I got from
Bill
that phone call.
Yeah. I love it. I love ruining things for people.
Sounds like,
like a true millennial.
He was so excited to be Bill and to introduce himself and to network. Bill the networker. He's my favorite Bill this week, too.
Yes.
Oh,
well,
thank you for that.
If you ever meet any Bills and you want to sneak away and call us about it, please head to frugalfriendspodcast.com/Bill and quietly let us know about your Bill of the Week, because we want to be in on this with you. And especially if you meet like Bill Murray or something, that would be the
bomb. Oh, I just watched the documentary. I don't want to ruin that if somebody is going to call in about Bill Murray, but there's a documentary because there's all these random stories about things that Bill Murray does that are just like, nuh-uh, that never happened. There's just a collection of these stories about Bill Murray. So a whole documentary was made about it. It's on Netflix. Yeah. So somebody should watch it and then tell us their favorite part. And that can be the Bill of the Week. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. If you meet Bill Murray, holy smokes. If Bill Murray calls in, I think this podcast would explode. That's like vinegar and bleach together. If Bill Murray and Frugal Friends, Bill Murray, Bill of the Week segment, my mind would explode.
I wish you could see Jill's mind is about to explode. We need to like move on because she is stressed. Anyway,
it's a good stress. It's an excited stress.
Yeah. I wish you could see her face.
Okay. Lightning round. Jen, you actually called it lightning round in our show, in our notes. Thank you so much. I feel so validated. Every time I'm like calling it lightning round, she's like, we don't do a lightning round. I'm like, I know we don't. Just play along. And this time she put it in our outline.
Yeah, I'm gonna be with you on this one.
Here we go. Lightning round. So let's talk about a few good recipes because we said we weren't going to do a whole episode on it and we didn't. You're welcome. We saved you from some explosions, some respiratory issues. You know, you learned a few things about me and my aversion to rubbing alcohol. Now here's a recipe. So if you want that kind of non-vinegar all-purpose cleaner, because we know how good vinegar is, but some people can't take the smell of it. So this website, Keeper of the Home, gives us a great non-vinegar all-purpose cleaner. Here's what it is. 1 tablespoon baking soda, 1 teaspoon Castile soap, 3 to 5 drops of a tea tree oil, and then fill the bottle with water. Spray that all around, folks. You've got yourselves a good smelling all-purpose cleaner that you did yourself. You know what's in it. You could almost lick it, but don't.
Ooh, yeah. Don't. It's Castile soap. You don't. Oh my gosh.
Unless you had a dirty mouth and you need to wash your mouth out with soap. Do you ever have to do that?
No.
Your mom never made you do that?
No. Yeah. Because I didn't have a dirty mouth. Good point. Anyways,
she would have if you would have had a dirty mouth, but you didn't. Yeah. So
yeah, it was a good kid. Thank you, Jill. All right, and for those of us who are okay with a little vinegar smell, there is the tried and true classic vinegar surface cleaner. And this one's particularly from livesimply.me. And it's just a cup of distilled water with a cup of distilled white vinegar. And then you can add to that half a lemon, the juice from half a lemon, and then like 15 drops of essential oil, whatever you want. Or you could just throw in a lemon rind and some rosemary sprigs and do it that way. I think it's important to note with any recipe that these are not shelf stable for as long as commercial cleaners. So you don't want to let these sit around for like more than 3 weeks. Because anytime you add water, especially if it's tap water, then you invite the growth of bacteria. And so like not even the vinegar or the baking soda or whatever is perfect in killing that off. So that's one reason why using distilled vinegar is a good idea if you've got it around, but you still don't want to let it sit out for very long. So make small portions or maybe split it. If you are not going to use 2 cups of cleaner in a few weeks, then split it with a friend.
Yeah.
But you don't want it to just be sitting. And if you have made some DIY cleaner that's pretty old, probably best to just toss it, start over. Because chemical reactions and science and stuff.
Plus, these items are inexpensive. That's why we frugal folks make our own.
Yeah. Those are our best tips for DIY cleaning. I hope that you will try them. There are a ton of recipes on the web, and maybe one day I will just compile a list of the good ones. I didn't have time to like just rummage through all of the crap ones. Now you can rummage through them yourself because you know what to look for.
Yep. Perfect. Let's talk about our book club.
Always willing to do that.
So it's February right now. So we are currently reading Meet the Frugal Woods. This is by Elizabeth Willard Thames. I don't know. Someday I'll figure that out. but she's amazing. So jump in on that.
Yes. And if you want to jump in and you want a free copy, leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Screenshot the review before you hit submit. And then after you hit submit, send it to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And we are selecting one winner for every 5 reviews that we get on our inbox. And there is no limit.
No limit. You could get yourself a free book.
Yes.
Who doesn't want that? Especially this one. Get yourself this free book.
This has changed a few things, the way that I live life. I don't want to say it's completely life-changing, but it did change a few things in my life.
And if you want an example of a good 5-star review that you can leave for a book-winning opportunity, here you go. Mm-hmm. This one is from Kay Pels, and it is titled Fun Podcast for Frugal Folks. Thank you, Jen and Jill, for taking the guesswork out of frugal living. This podcast is both fun and jam-packed full of helpful tips to get you started and keep you motivated on your frugal journey. Living paycheck to paycheck and saying no to friends is no fun, but these hosts remind me that there is fun to be had while living frugally. Yes, Kay Pels, there is. We're doing it.
Yes.
I'm sitting in bed right now talking about DIY cleaning products. What mm-hmm. else can you ask for?
Yep. Ate dinner with a coupon. Yep. Yes. Having fun and being frugal. That's what we're about.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, thanks so much. That was a really good one. We want to be your frugal friends. So if you want to help more people find out about the podcast, seriously, leave a review. That's the way people do it. Mm-hmm. And we want them to know what they're getting into. Because we're not like other podcasts, and we don't want people that won't like us to listen to us and then leave us 1-star reviews.
Who needs that? Yes. We want friends, not frugal enemies. That doesn't do yes. no one no good.
Yeah. So until then, leave your reviews, be frugal, and we'll see you next week.
See you then. Bye.
Bye. Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
What would a frugal enemy even look like? Like, what would that mean if you had a frugal enemy? That they were
somebody who's trying to, this is it. Somebody who's all up in the buy nothing group trying to get all the things that you want. Right?
Well,
somebody that knows you're looking for something.
Knows that you're looking for it. Uh-huh. They don't need it. They just
swipe into your post and they're like, ooh, I'll take that.
And also they never contribute to the buy nothing group.
Yep.
They're always taking.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we're talking about is cheap. A frugal enemy is a cheap person. Because I don't think it'd be possible to be a frugal person and they don't need anything else.
Right. But they just keep taking from the buy nothing group.
Yes.
That is it.
I don't think it's possible that if you're frugal that you wouldn't be our friends. I think that what would actually be happening is you're not frugal, you're something else, probably cheap.
Cheap.
And therefore you're a frugal enemy. You're the enemy mm-hmm. of frugality.
Frunemy.
We don't want those reviews.
No. No. And see.